Welcome to Slaking Thirsts, a podcast that's all about bringing the thirst deep within our hearts for love and communion to the heart of Christ, a divine heart, who is seeking our love and communion in return. The hope is that the two thirsts would meet and both thirsts would be slaked. Good evening, everyone. As the gospel was being proclaimed, I was thinking I'm standing between two bookends in many ways. Father Dave, this is over 63 years, I believe, of Holy Thursdays as a priest. So congratulations and thanks for being with us, Father Dave. And this is Father Jeff's first. You made it, 9 months. Yeah. Also, it's Deacon Rob's first Holy Thursday as an ordained man as well. So congratulations, Deacon Rob. Not to mention, we have these three young adult guys up here, three on this side, two on that side. These are our seminarians who are young men who sat in those pews at different points in their life and felt like the Lord was inviting them to give a year of their life to discern and kind of at times wrestle with God and try to listen to Him deeply to say, is the Lord calling me to give another year, and then another year, and eventually that would lead to priesthood. So we thank you five for your witness and for being with us during these holy days as well. Tonight as a church, we celebrate three realities. On Holy Thursday, the church asks us to reflect upon and celebrate the Lord's call to service, the Lord's call to priesthood, and the Lord's gift of the Eucharist. All three are asked to be highlighted and reflected upon. And the thing I want to kind of begin with is one of the most well-used titles of Jesus, which is Jesus is the Redeemer of man. The Redeemer. He's also Savior, of course, and friend. He is mercy and beauty itself. He is love. He is peace. But the word Redeemer is important for us. The word Redeemer has a sense of regaining. Something is deemed one way, then it gets compromised, then it needs to be redeemed. But we don't redeem ourselves. In fact, we can't. The illness that all of us have, we call original sin. Theologically, they may call it concupiscence. Bottom line, simply, we sometimes call it our selfishness. All right, this thing in us, we have the illness. We can't also be the remedy. And so God sees you, and He sees me. And because He's a Father, He's moved by you. He knows the deepest cries of our hearts, and He responds not with an angel, not with just one more prophet, but He sends His own divine Son to take on our humanity. That right there is the first lesson, that God thinks we're so amazing in His eyes that He's going to have His divine Son take on our very humanity. We love the word affirmation nowadays, right? Talk about affirmation, that the God of the universe is going to come just like you. Flesh and bones, mom and dad, friends, betrayal, suffering, injustice, fears, tears, blood. He enters into it all. And today in the gospel, what we see is that God the Father gave all power to Jesus. He was fully in charge of His destiny. And what He does is He takes the role of a slave. It was the house slave that washed feet. Most of you aren't big fans of feet anyways. All right? And you have nice shoes and showers mostly every day. Hopefully every day. Back then, they didn't. Feet were nasty. All right? And it was the house servant, the house slave, who bent down and got all up in all that junk. Pouring water, fingertips, all of it. Touching and smelling, everything that went with it. Now, I've been doing this for 10 years, and most people who come up here, they took a lot of time to make sure their feet are presentable to me. I'm grateful. Okay? I have limits, I'll admit it. All right? Jesus alone loves without limits. But see, He bends down and washes their feet. The God of the universe, at this point in the discussion he has with Peter, is looking up to Peter. Jesus looks up at you while he's washing your filth away. He knows your weakness. He knows your sins. He knows your struggles. He knows all the injustices. He knows all the chapters of your story that you wish weren't a part of your story and I wish weren't a part of mine. And while he's entering into it to clean it, to wash it, to bathe it, and to take it away, not just by water, but actually by his own blood is the way he takes it away, he looks up at you. He communicates to Peter and to you, you matter to God, and therefore you matter to us. You have dignity. In fact, in the Old Testament, throughout the Lenten season, we would hear often from the scriptures, it says, you are sacred to the Lord your God. God doesn't love generically. Each one of you is sacred to God. And although we sin, in the fact in this story, it's not mentioned explicitly, but it's alluded to, he washed Judas's feet. The waywardness of Judas's heart. Jesus bent down, put his hands into all the mess and filth, knowing what Judas was about to do, and still looked up at him. As if to communicate, I know who you are and whose you are. You forgot, but I know. This is what it means to be the Redeemer. It means to reveal, to bestow, to awaken in every single person that everybody is somebody, that everyone has a name, everyone is made in the unrepeatable image of God, and no one can make God visible in this world like you and you and you. No one can take your spot. You're you. No one's you. That's what Jesus revealed by calling people by name. He loved Peter different than Thomas, different than Bartholomew, different than Mary Magdalene. Everyone brought a different facet out of his heart. And by bending down and looking up, he was able to bestow and redeem them and saying, this is who you really are. This is the call of the priesthood. This is what Father Jeff, Father Dave, myself, this is what we're called to be. We're called to people who can communicate to you in a myriad of ways, you matter to God and you matter to us. So I'm acutely aware that I need to first say that I'm sorry for any times in the past year that you felt like I didn't look up, but maybe look down, or didn't even look at you. You deserve better, and all I can say is I'll work on it. I know how often I go to confession, and so I know you're going to experience it again, but I'm sorry ahead of time. As far as I'm aware, it's not intentional. But see, I'm called, and Father Jeff is called, and Father Dave and Deacon Rob and these men are discerning, but really all of us are called to a life we cannot live perfectly. That's why it's both maddening and exciting. Why it's both powerful and scary. That every priest is meant to look at people in such a way that they don't take but give. They don't manipulate, but they have mercy. It's not a power play, but a powerlessness. We're meant to surrender and bend down so you can be lifted up. We're meant to be a father who picks up the kid and throws him in the air and mom gets scared. But for a brief moment, the kid thinks they can fly. It's what dads do. It's what Jesus does. That's what we're called to be. And the way we do it the most powerfully is actually in the Eucharist, where what comes through us is rather miraculous. Some people go all around the world trying to find like a miracle mass where something special will happen. It's like, well, you just have to go to any mass. You don't need, like, I want a miracle. I would love if there's a miracle. Well, it's at every mass. The bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. Every single mass. Whether that priest is a terrible, terrible person or a saint. Happens every single time. And what we give you is not a lording over kind of power. We give to you Jesus, who gives himself to you in such humble ways. It looks like bread. There's nothing threatening. There's nothing aggressive. There's nothing manipulative. It's simply a surrendering of himself to you. Some of you receive in the hand, some receive on the tongue. Both gestures communicate something amazing, that the God of the universe is entrusting himself to you in this moment. Jesus says, I trust you. I believe in you. I believe you are the kind of person that I can live in and grow in so that other people can be lifted up through you. It's kind of ironic at every Mass that the highest position in the whole church is the host when I hold it up after the consecration. And yet what I'm holding up is the most unimpressive appearance among us all. All of you are better looking than the piece of bread. And yet we're all worshiping that. We're weird. But we're weird in the right way. And then we eat and drink his very life in us. And he says, will you die? Will you die with me? Because if you die with me, I will give you something so beautiful. If you die to your ego, if you die to your defensiveness, if you die to your fears, if you die to your aggression, if you die to all your sins, pride, envy, anger, gluttony, greed, lust, sloth, all of it. If you die to it, if you really surrender and let the little places underneath that sin come out, I will flood you with my redeeming love. You will be so confident in who you are, not against people, but just in the eyes of the God of the universe. You will say, he made me as a gift. I can't wait to go love others by making myself a gift to them. Christian ministry is not, I feel bad, so maybe if I work really hard, then I'll feel good about myself. That's not Christian ministry. Christian ministry is, he bent down and showed me I matter. I'm really good. Yes, I'm broken. Yes, I need mercy. Yes, I need healing. Yes, I need to keep growing. But underneath it all, who I am is his, and he is mine. And so from that source of communion, I can grow and give myself to others as a sincere gift. And in giving myself as a gift to someone else, they realize, maybe I matter. I fail at this daily, weekly, monthly. And the amount of confessions we hear at St. Basil's, good news for me, all of you are a lot like me. We're all weak. Turns out we all don't have what it takes. But that's who he always calls. Peter was a train wreck. Thomas was a doubter. John was a judger. Judas was a betrayer. It goes on and on. And so we gather here, not because we're so good. We gather here because he's so good. And as we get close to him, he will show us. Turns out in his eyes, which is the truth, no matter what I've done or what I will do, I'm still a gift. And he does it always by bending down so that he can lift us up. And this is what we celebrate the next 3 days, these sacred days. A God who bends all the way down into death itself to go into the dark, into the mystery, grab people by the hand and bring them up to the glory of the Father's house so that through him, with him, and in him, we might be able to say, like God said in Genesis, it's very good to be alive. Amen.